Bogey. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We get the news to get some weather.
A pumpkin-colored sky on the eastern horizon this final Monday in October. Ah. Sun's been up now for the last few minutes. Good morning. We have some blazing autumn color on this Monday morning, illuminated by golden sunlight.
What? Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
No one gets out of here alive. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for Buzz's News Now, brought to you tonight by TGI Fridays Restaurants, where the three-course menu is back. Give me more Fridays. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you anyway?
I am well.
Let me see. Before we go on with the show, there's no World Series tonight.
Right. No, I'm looking forward to getting a normal night's sleep.
Anybody know if that Packers game is going to be on at 8 or at 8:30? Anybody? Ferris?
I think it's 8 o'clock.
I think so. They might move it back now that there's no World Series game.
You want me to check for you? I can put a couple of calls in.
Joe will find out.
Okay, sure.
And, come on, let's go Pack tonight. I only need 35 points from Brett Favre to win my fantasy game.
Good luck. Hey, my quarterback scored me 50 points, so you should be okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom Terrific.
Tom Terrific.
I know.
If I didn't have Tom Terrific, I am not even in the running. I mean, that quarterback is all I got right now.
I think I mentioned I have Tom Terrific in one of my other leagues.
Right.
And in the other league, I'm getting nothing but hate mail where it has little comments down at the bottom, none of them directed at me.
Right.
But it's like, sure, he throws for three and he runs for two. Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you just bank blank.
But, you know, I was looking over the league this weekend because I actually didn't take my general manager top lineup's advice this weekend. I made a couple of changes at the last minute. And I'm noticing that, as far as Tom Brady, he's having a good season. But running backs and wide receivers, are there any real studs that are going bananas outside of Randy Moss with the Patriots right now? Nobody's really doing anything.
Stuart Scott says that a lot.
Right.
Going bananas. They're going bananas. ESPN, Soul Jam, or Poetry Jam.
That's right.
I know that LaDainian Tomlinson has been doing great. Really good.
Really, running backs are having a suck year.
Everybody is.
Well, hi, Buzz. Hi. How'd your fantasy weekend go?
Doing well. I think I'm 40 points up on Rob at this point.
No, I meant how did your fantasy weekend go?
Fantasy football. Fantasy weekend.
How'd your fantasy weekend period go?
It was a dream.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was a decent weekend. Yeah, it was. Got a lot of things done.
My
car has never been cleaner, and I raked leaves.
Oh man, you know how to party?
You wish you were me?
How's the old lady?
She's doing swell.
What'd she do?
She drove me around town, and we shopped for furniture. Actually, we did.
Yeah,
some
Buzz.
Of that.
For those of you who don't know, Buzz no longer has his driver's license.
That's right.
Just as a safety factor.
Too old.
Marcia drives him.
Courtesy for others.
That's right.
Exactly.
Buzz, what kind of leaves?
the tree leaves. From the oak tree.
Okay.
Yes, rake leaves. Yeah, you think that's when he's just cleaning out seeds.
Carrie and I were shopping for furniture this weekend too. A large wooden box.
I don't let the other leaves hit the ground.
Hey, wow. Joe.
Joe?
Yes, Don.
Did you Google whatever we wanted you to Google?
Yes, 8:30, Don.
Oh, it's at 8:30. I was wrong.
Sorry. 8:30. Right on. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
And now here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The government agency that failed us during Katrina waited till the close of business Friday to admit it had faked a news conference and to apologize for that. This is called waiting till the end of the news cycle. The thinking is if you announce bad news at 5:30 on a Friday, most people won't hear about it because most people don't watch news on a Friday or Saturday night.
So they scam it with the news conference and they scam it with the release that they did it wrong.
And by the time people do hear about it, then it's old news.
You mentioned this on Friday, didn't you?
I did, just as it was a last-minute thing, as a throwaway just before we left Friday.
I thought you didn't. It was like another one of those Stephen Colbert half-made-up stories.
Thought I made it up, didn't you?
Until I saw the tape.
Yeah, they really did it.
Practice that we would employ here.
Okay, hold on a second. Cut number 21. Here's the FEMA phony press conference.
All right, good.
Where the guy's on TV, and he's just being asked questions by FEMA people.
What lessons learned from Katrina have been applied?
And lessons learned from Katrina, it's like, is there day and is there night? And if you take a look at Katrina, where there really was no leaning forward, really, really was not a fabric of federal partners, where there wasn't good, smooth communication between the governor and the administrator of FEMA, the governor and the president, to see all the federal partners linked together.
Buzz, explain again what we're hearing exactly. It's a guy in a podium, and
they're faking a news conference. They threw this thing together at the last minute, and so lacking an audience of real reporters, PR people, public relations people.
Employed by FEMA.
Right, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, yeah. Were planted in the chairs, and FEMA's defending this by saying, well, they asked questions that we'd already heard from other reporters.
The level of abuse and fraud.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, I know it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about this, people sitting down and coming up with this and having the audacity to do it is amazing.
Coming on the heels of Katrina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all the bad PR.
Mm-hmm. We're so stacking the deck now that we can't even have a legitimate news conference.
All right, here's a little bit more of the fake news conference.
Right.
Pre-scripting mission assignments, having contracts in place, following a game plan. We didn't do any of those kind of things in Katrina. And what you're seeing now is a very smoothly, very efficiently performing team. You're seeing some fits and starts, as you would expect in a disaster. It's not storybook perfect. But
let's wait to hear one of the fake questioners
and
here.
A gap and to fill it right away, not wait to be told to fill it. And you're seeing a gap that exists for moments, not for days or a week. And so I think what you're really seeing here is the benefit of experience, the benefit of good leadership, and the benefit of good partnership, none of which were present in Katrina. So I think as a nation, people should sit up and take notice that you have the worst wildfire season in history in California, and look at how well the state and the...
He does not stop. Look at how well we're working together
between state and federal
and
partners. It's a good thing to...
Right, so then here is the...
Why do I think he was responsible?
Sure. All right, now here is the White House distancing themselves from this.
Yes. It is not a practice that we would employ here at the White House, or that we certainly don't condone it. We didn't know about it beforehand. FEMA has issued an apology saying that they had an error in judgment when they were...
All right,
that's not a practice that we would condone because we don't think we could get away with it.
Hadn't thought of it first.
All right, then here's Chernoff, the Homeland Security guy.
I can't explain why it happened. I think it was one of the dumbest and most inappropriate things I've seen since I've been in government.
All right. Maybe the best was Bob Schieffer. We've had him on the show before. Bob Schieffer is real news guy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Here's Bob Schieffer.
Right.
He's pissed.
The real deal.
He's got the red ass.
The last time I was at Disney World, they had sticks of a certain height stuck in the ground with signs that said something like, you must be this tall to ride this ride. Well, FEMA, the disaster relief agency, must use a variation of that to hire its public relations staff. Somewhere on their employment application, there must be a clause that says your IQ must be below a certain level to work here. How else to explain FEMA's action last week when it staged a phony news conference where its employees posed as reporters and threw softball questions to the agency leaders so they could tell us all what a good job they were doing?
Wow.
Mind you, this is the same FEMA once headed by Michael Brown of Brownie, You're Doing a Heck of a Job fame.
Mm-hmm.
The agency that fell on its face during Katrina.
You know, this seems so simple to me. Why do you not give this man the 6:30 news?
They should.
Yeah.
You know,
should again.
Let Katie Couric go off and do lifestyle reports.
Mm-hmm.
Give this guy the news and let him come on at 6:30 and let him say every night, hi, I'm Bob Schieffer. Guess how we took it up the butt today.
And, you know, he does it in his little Texas way, little mellow way, but he's letting it be, you know.
He's not done. He's still very mad.
While New Orleans drowned, remember, Brownie's PR people busied themselves by emailing old Brownie to roll up his sleeves before TV interviews so it would look like he was working hard. The Department of Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff said he found the phony news conference offensive, and since it is an emergency relief outfit, here's some emergency suggestions. Fire these people and the people who hired them, then explain to the new people that the best way for a disaster relief agency to get good publicity is to do a good job helping victims.
Right.
As part of a massive new PR campaign, you might even consider taking the PR staff from behind their desks and sending them out to deliver food and water to fire victims. Now that would make a great story.
No, hey, man, you know, I couldn't say it better myself.
That's Bob Schieffer with a red ass, and rightly so.
And that is their priority, obviously, that they're not thinking about giving disaster relief. They're thinking about the PR angle. God, I mean, this is astonishing. And I would love to know. I would love to know how many people are still in that agency when, you know, when Brown was in there. I mean, when the secretary...
It sounds like there's some spillover just from the style. Well, I came here today.
Oh, here, hold on. Here is a tape of someone telling us what it was like. What it was like.
I have no problem with anything they did. I have no problem with anything they did.
Well, nothing's been the same since he left that day. Momentum.
I have no problem with anything they did. Nothing. No problem. No problems with from me. You would hope it wouldn't happen to you, but it did. It's been a while since that's happened to us. I have no problem with anything.
But look out, Dallas. Our coach is Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs didn't have anything to do with FEMA.
I have no problem with anything they did.
That's nice. Hey, you just got your ass kicked by 50 points.
I have no problem with anything they did.
Well, I wish you did, old man. Why don't you pray on that?
There's an angry fan, Don Geronimo.
Why don't you pull out a Bible and say, Dear Jesus, how do you stop Tom Brady from running it in twice in a row? Pray on that. Pray on that. Where's your Moses now, Gibbs?
Yeah, there. Where's your Messiah now?
I have no problem with anything they did.
Got no problem. How about this? How about the giant cleat mark in your ass?
I have no problem with anything they did.
No, outsmarted by Belichick again.
Well, they gave him a good game.
Well, I came to the studio today expecting to have to deliver to you the bad news that the top PR guy at FEMA, the top public relations man at the Federal Emergency Management Agency, was about to be promoted to do the same job as director of the National Intelligence Agency.
That ain't going
to
happen now, right?
As of this afternoon, while we were doing this show, Pat Philbin has either resigned or has been fired. He's out of here.
Get back to work! Get back to work, you morons!
Regis. Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Regis's brother, Pat.
I've got an idea. What I'd like to do is, why can't we stage the press conference? That would be all right, wouldn't it? Gelman. Let's stage the whole thing. Then they can ask the easy questions, and I can have the answers already prepared.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin. I'm the PR director for FEMA. How are you?
You could be Regis' son in the wheelchair.
Ah, that's true.
How do we know that's not Regis' son in the wheelchair?
You'd never have any idea. But it's me, and everything's under control, and I know this. I'm confident. I'm Pat Philbin.
Pat.
Yes.
Your feet are so tiny.
I know. I've got little dove-like feet.
Hey, Pat.
Yes, Don. A question from the back.
I heard from someone here on the show.
Yeah.
That they saw a guy in a bar over the weekend in a wheelchair.
Right.
In a Superman costume.
Yes, he was doing a Christopher Reeves impression, but he was legitimately in a wheelchair.
Did he win the costume contest?
I don't think he entered it, and it was a shame, but everybody appreciated his Superman costume in the wheelchair. I thought it was very clever. Very clever. And I know a good costume when I see it.
Do you have a message for Bob Schieffer?
I thought you were going to ask me who I was.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin.
Now do you have a message for Bob Schieffer?
Yeah, lick it. There you go.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin there, boy.
So you really saw a guy who was a guy legitimately in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was hysterical.
Is
he was
that
great.
The greatest? Is
I
that...
gave him a high five. He was fantastic.
Well, not very high.
Not very high.
Thanks, Mike.
It was wonderful. He was terrific. But he said something at the end of the night, like not being able to, you know, enter the contest. But I think might have left early. I'm not sure.
Hmm. Was the contest on a stage?
It was not. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hmm.
Sorry about that. That's heavy lifting.
It is.
Right. Earlier, Don.
I'm Pat Philbin. Sorry, Buzz.
That's all right. Earlier, Don was talking about some comments from California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger about marijuana. Well, now the governor's people are backpedaling. So which is true? You be the judge.
What about weed? Is it going to be any weed?
When we continue.
Sure, I'll be right back, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
What the bleep happened here?
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
rich with the aroma of love. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello!
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
It's me.
Hello!
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Buzz. How are you anyway?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
A spokesman for California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says the governor was kidding when he said marijuana is not a drug. Quoting the spokesman, it's like when he goes on Leno or The Daily Show. It was in a silly entertainment context.
Yeah.
But if you read the context.
Go, charges, go.
I just made a joke.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, keep getting mad at your workout instructor, Travis.
Oh, you don't like him. That's funny.
Nine. You say you yelled at the guy, and then we get you on the show, and you say you're friends.
Who are you?
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought you were Pat Philbin.
Hi, I'm Pat Philbin. Get that news conference set up.
You know what's on TV tonight?
What?
I'll tell you, we're very excited about this. Arnold smokes weed, and we like to dance. All of it on Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin.
Self-loathing.
I'm the self-loathing Pat Philbin.
Governor of California.
That's right.
Hey, Tom Bergeron, how you feel about weed?
I love it. There's nothing greater than sitting in my dressing room and lighting up a giant fatty. I'm Dancing with the Stars. I'm the self-loathing governor of California, Pat Philbin.
So the spokesman says the governor was kidding, but if you read the context of Arnold's interview with the British version of GQ magazine, he doesn't appear to be joking. It started when he told the magazine he hadn't taken drugs. Interviewer pointed out the movie Pumping Iron, in which he's seen smoking a joint, as Don mentioned earlier. In this interview, the governor responded by saying this is not a drug, it's a leaf. And then he goes on to say, sort of defending privacy here, what would you rather have, a politician taking stuff and not saying, but making the best decisions, or a politician who names all the drugs he or she has taken, but makes lousy decisions for the country? Why should I care if a politician takes sleeping pills every night so long as he can do his job?
That's well, right.
What do we got, like, half a Nazi running in California into the ground?
California's doing just fine. I basically toured all the sites of the fires when I was high.
Did you cure it?
I cured the fires.
That's how we did it.
That's right. Sure. I started one myself that was a fire line by throwing the lit dube out the window.
And that brings us to the latest petition drive in Oregon. The plan in Portland is to gather enough signatures to get on the ballot the question of letting liquor stores sell marijuana. Call it a referendum, if you like.
Well, what have we here?
Or Buzz's Monday agenda.
It's not as if Oregon needs this. Weed possession's already decriminalized there. Oregon was the first state to go green way back in 1973.
Oregon.
One in every...
Buenos dias.
One in every eight Oregonians admits to using the stuff, knowing they might have to pay a $500 fine, but only if they blow it in an officer's face. The biggest hitch in the Oregon plan is that it guarantees the wrath of the federal government.
Gracias.
The NFL considers this weekend's London experiment to be a smashing success. And
the NFL's retarded, then.
Paves the way for more NFL games on foreign soil.
I'm telling you, not only was it a poorly played game.
Horribly played game.
Really awful, ugly. The people that were there, it was like a one-time rock concert.
Yeah.
Event. Mm-hmm. That's why the stands were full.
Mm-hmm.
They were so proud. They were saying, you know, we look in the stands and I must see every single NFL team represented by someone wearing a jersey. Gee, do you think out of 90,000 people, do you think maybe 30 people had jerseys on? Of course, it was like going to an event.
Who was the guy doing the color commentary in that game? Do you know?
The big fat guy?
Yeah.
Tony Siragusa used to play for the Ravens.
Oh, okay. That was Siragusa. All right.
81,000 people out there in crappy weather. Next season, two games will be played outside the U.S. Giants coach Tom Coughlin is kind of okay with that. Towing the company line, he said afterward, I'd be glad to give my opinion to the commissioner. It worked for us because they gave us a bye next week to recover, but we still had to adjust our schedule.
Here's the problem. Only a suck team like Miami is going to give up a home game and give up the money of that to travel. And the other game that they're talking about going overseas allegedly is that thing with the Bills playing like five games in Toronto.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even a big deal.
So one game would be in Toronto, maybe one in London. But I guarantee a guy like Dan Snyder, if you go to a guy like Dan Snyder and say, you're going to lose a home game or you're going to play in London, he, Jerry Jones, all of it. Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta stay at home.
Well, if you're gonna do it all over the world. Like make it in put one in Baghdad.
That'd be good.
I think that'd be fun.
What was the thing that I read yesterday about the owner of the Denver Broncos, the guy that wears that full length mink coat all the time on the side?
Pat.
Whatever Philbin. His name is, Pat Bolden?
Pat Philbin.
Well, Pat anyway, if there was to be a game 5 tonight.
Right.
On radio station KOA in Denver, they have both the rights to the Rockies and to the Broncos.
That's the sports station, the big sports station out there.
And the Broncos have the right to bump anything else. The guy went to the radio station and said, listen, if there's a game 5, you put the Rockies on KOA, the big station, and you can move the Broncos game to a lesser station.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ever, in the Washington Post,
because he cares about the fans of Denver.
In the Washington Post, it said, could you ever see Dan Snyder doing this?
No.
No. Not a chance.
Yeah, and the station that he's going to put the Rockies on can actually be heard, which is significant, too.
Yeah, but Buzz, I just get the feeling that this is all just NFL BS hype about what a giant success it was.
I heard the
players bitching about it, bitching about the travel, bitching about the food. It was a poorly played game.
Yeah, and it's all big business. And that, you know, it's really just doing the whole global thing. And I don't know if why do you have to do that all the time?
You know, put a team in Los Angeles first, for God's sakes. Get one of these teams that's about to fall apart,
right,
like Minnesota. Fix that before you worry about putting the team in London. Now here is Sports Authority Rob Spiewak.
I thought the field looked great. I like when they would fall down and slide 10 yards. It made it fun.
That's what he enjoyed.
Don't you like that?
Rob's a big mutter.
Yes, I am.
He's a mutter fodder.
And my father's a mutter.
ESPN, meanwhile, had the live broadcast of a World Hamburger Eating Championship. It was the 4th annual Crystal Square.
I'm on my second beer. Hey, stop it now.
The Crystal Square Off, and the winner is an American, Joey Chestnut of San Jose, California. Joey ate 103 burgers in 8 minutes, buns and all. Crystal burgers are sliders, thin, square burgers that measure 2.5 inches across.
And I'll do anything for food.
You can actually eat one in one bite. Joey, who's not a fat guy, is also the World Hot Dog Eating Championship.
And I'll do anything for food.
Recognize his name. He won $10,000 for the burger win and the honor of being the first contestant to pass the 100-burger mark.
Way to go, Joey Chestnut.
I forgot to ask you. Is the NFL saying that this was a gigantic success?
That's the company line. That's what the commissioner, and from what you're saying, then I predict a clash next season or perhaps the season after this, however this progresses, because the commissioner's office seems very dead set on going forward with expanding the NFL worldwide, and I think you're also very right about what you're saying about the owners. So I predict some kind of trouble.
And don't you think it's just that it's the pomposity of being an American, and I'm all for that because we're the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like we've got this game that is unique to America. We've tried to push it down their throats before, the Europeans, I mean. They don't dig it. Why can't we just be happy making as much money as the NFL does now? They got to be so.
So you think the people that were there because it was a spectacle?
They were there because there are X amount, a million Americans living in London proper.
Okay.
There are Americans who are over there as service guys. Half the crowd yesterday was full of Americans.
Okay, sure.
Anyway, that's just, they think it was great. I thought it sucked.
Oh, by the way, the Merck Drug Company has a message for the 3,000 people who took an experimental vaccine to reduce their chances of getting AIDS.
The only good thing was that big, gigantic doll of Jason Taylor from the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing, that big 27-foot monster thing that actually had eyebrows that moved and big eyeballs that moved?
Yes, it was very British.
Now that is worth the hype.
Turns out the drug may have done the opposite thing. It may have increased those 3,000 people's chances for getting AIDS. Oops.
Well, and that's why you always participate in a medical experiment.
Finally, it's a kinky world, man. In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a man was arrested last Wednesday in a public restroom. Police say he was found in a compromising position with a blow-up love doll. Is there a position with a love doll in a restroom that isn't compromising? The same man was arrested 3 years ago for breaking into a bridal boutique. Back then, police found him later in an alley with a mannequin in a wedding gown. In Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland, a man's been convicted of having sex with a bicycle. Maids at a guest house unlocked a door to find the man pantsless, holding the bike and moving his hips. He is now a registered sex offender. The last case of sex with an inanimate object in the UK was 1993, when a man was arrested for having sex with a sidewalk. I'm Buzz Burbank
right.
on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what they're all about in the UK.
Hey, it's all about the friction, okay?
Yeah.
Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Kid Nazi.
Four things.
Yes.
Annie Sprinkle, Jeff Stryker, Executive Getty, and curse on you.
Oh, you got it. I'm out. I don't have any.
I'm Shoot.
Shoot, and I'm Liver.
And I'm Weed.
I'm Kid Hitler.
Woo! See you later, squirrel.
This is the Don and Mike Show.